respected landholder, successful merchant, to say nothing of a loving husband, a devoted father. Captain Bill was a jolly good fellow. And then one day... Well, that's the rest of the story. Captain Bill was a venerable 50 when the Crown put him in charge of a stout vessel called the Adventure Galley. Three masts, 34 guns, her 287 tons glided like a leaf on a placid pond, and her oversized sails snapped to attention as a young officer salutes an admiral. Only the best for Captain Bill. And to run this remarkable ship, the skipper carefully, personally selected the finest crew, each man sturdy, honest, and true. Most of them married with families, least likely, in other words, to become pirates or mutineers. In fact, it was the mission of the Adventure Galley to sail to Madagascar and battle the pirates who plagued those waters. And so it was one fine February morning, 1696, Captain Bill and his gentlemen sailors and their sleek, fast, supremely maneuverable pirate hunter sailed down the Thames, bound for the open sea. They had barely passed Greenwich when the trouble began. Approaching them inbound was a Royal Navy yacht. Now, according to naval custom, Adventure Galley ought to have acknowledged the other vessel by respectfully dipping her colors. And as a stern reminder of this, the yacht's proud captain fired a shot across the Adventure Galley's bow. Captain Bill was incredulous. Of course, he was aware of the technical courtesy he had neglected, but after all, he was embarking on a dangerous assignment for king and country. What more did the Royal Navy require of him? So jolly good Captain Bill, for once in his jolly good life, did a jolly bad thing. Grinning mischievously, he asked his crew, "How would you men like to salute the good ship at our beam?" And knowing precisely what the captain meant, the crewmen laughed a hearty seafarer's laugh. They climbed up into the yards, waited until the Royal Navy yacht was directly opposite them, and then, in unison, fairly majestic in its simultaneity, they all dropped their trousers and slapped their backsides. For Captain Bill, that silly solitary affront was the beginning of the end. For the frigate's captain complained bitterly to the Admiralty, and the Admiralty then relieved Adventure Galley of her hand-picked crew. The crew was replaced with naval rejects, rogues and scoundrels and scalawags all. After which Captain Bill resumed his mission. But in time, the predictable occurred. The new crew threatened mutiny, could be placated only by permission to become pirates themselves. Captain Bill tried to explain all that after returning voluntarily to British soil, but it was no use. They hanged him anyway. And thus a legend was born. For once upon an impudent insult, there was a great man who backed into the pages of English history, a naval hero who, as he had never intended, became an outlaw, and in turn became more fable than fact. Doubtless you never heard about the ill-fated moonrise over the Thames that forever changed the life of a respectable middle-aged merchant. You know instead the mostly tall tales surrounding a mythical pirate king named William Kidd. The Captain Kidd? The Captain Kidd. And now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guests continue to be John Pichong and Darcia Stebbins. This hour, we're going to turn to the Slo County budget cutbacks, what that process is going to look like, who's going to take it in the shorts, and who's going to come out whole, issues facing Slo County Board of Supervisors, other issues in 2025, And again, we'll probably in the last segment get a few more of John's takeaways from the November 5th election. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, John, we got the budget issues that are facing the county.
I think we're right now projected 20 to 25 million, which is kind of standard for the county. Other counties are having much bigger problems.
Are they?
Than we are. Yeah.
But in the meantime, because and this is just part of the whole problem, is Gavin Newsom is upset with Donald Trump. So he's going to, I heard this morning, they're going to try to pass something where they can continue to make up for the EV subsidies, which will just exacerbate the problem even further.
Yeah. And they have this brilliant idea because all these EVs are not paying the road tax,
right,
and fuel fees. That they want to end up running some sort of vehicle miles travel tax.
Must have been something we said.
Supporter of the vehicle miles travel tax, but where they basically will charge you per mile that you drive in your car. The problem with it is it just destroys disadvantaged communities. A lot of Latino communities, who have to drive, let's just say they work in the ag industry, you have to drive multiple miles. They're going to lose all their money to pay for a tax, to be able to fix the roads when they can't even get to their, just to their job.
Well, that's even more votes for conservative
candidates. It has to be. I think vehicle miles traveled is one of the worst ideas that other states are trying it too, because it's the government's never-ending need for additional tax revenue.
Well, and also it's the data collection. So you have the whole process of the police state and the
big government.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
In your automobile with you.
Here from the government, here to help.
So Matt Pontes, the chief administrative officer for the county, actually wrote a very thoughtful letter to the Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
Talking about reassessing priorities for the county budget. And what do you think about what he had to say?
Well, so we have 24 departments in San Luis Obispo County that our tax dollars pay for. Mm-hmm. In those, underneath each of those departments are multiple different programs, 1,000 programs, the different programs that are run. Some of them are mandated by the state. Some of them, like IHSS, which is In-Home Supportive Services, great program. The state told us to do it, and then the state took away the funding. So we pick it up. And so the question is, to do an analysis of every single program in the county government and make a decision on whether it can be done in this environment, this financial environment right now. And I think it's going to be one of the most extensive. And I've said this for 8 years because people, the staff have come to me as a supervisor and said, we're going to need to cut some things out of the budget. And I said, look, because they'll do a percentage. Every department is going to do a 2 or 3% cut. Well, there are programs that don't work. The inclusionary housing fee is my big pet program tax that I don't think works. I think if we're going to give, and Mike Brown at CoLab believes this, if we're going to support, low-income housing, we should fund it. We shouldn't just tax other people's homes and raise the cost of homes on one people so we can buy homes for another people. But, so there are programs that I believe their time has come. And I'll tell you, and I say this all the time, 3 years ago, we had a fee increase, and they were it was coming before the board on fees. So we had to raise some fees to keep up with the cost of the fees. And they finally decided to get rid of the $1 fee for faxes because people were no longer faxing stuff to the county. Mm-hmm. So we cut all the fax fees out. I think this is probably like 5 years after we got rid of all the fax machines, so we couldn't even take a fax.
Well, now, John, I just have to correct you there because we had 266 people who voted.
We found a fax machine? You're saying there's
to
one
the county
fax
clerk's
machine?
Office.
There's you a fax machine.
Fax. Wow.
We've got it.
Yes.
You've got now, the question is, did we charge them a dollar?
I don't believe so because I believe that if you are voting, that it is something that is covered under the budget.
Okay.
So. All right.
I think this is a good thing to do. I think it will help. I think it will help county government become, get rid of, what I would consider to be some of these programs, maybe waste. And we're going to figure out, kind of how to figure, from a budgeting standpoint, be able to balance out the budget. Because, as you know, state law requires that all county budgets be, they all be balanced when we vote for them.
So again, so Pontes has charged the department heads
yes.
to do this assessment.
Well, every program, he's going to assess them, though, with the department heads.
Do you think that the department heads will get on board for this?
Well, they have to because we're going to do every program.
Okay.
But we're not going to cherry pick certain programs. Where every program in county government is going to be looked at.
Are all the supervisors seeing eye to eye on this reassessment?
Of course not.
Okay.
No. But
does anybody think it's not necessary?
Well, publicly they're all on board.
Okay.
Okay. So publicly they're all on board. So we're going to see, because every supervisor is going to have a favorite program, right? And mm-hmm. so they're going to say, and for me, I'll just tell you what it is. It's law enforcement, right? Mm-hmm. It's the public safety budget.
Right.
I hate cuts in public safety because these folks are out on the front lines protecting our families. And, I just don't think that's where we should cut. We should cut other things. But it's going to come back, and he's going to look at every program.
Okay.
And where does the duplication and the triplication and the how is that part of the plan to be able to look at those comprehensively rather than just department by department?
Because there's everything. Oh, there's tons of overlap, and there's tons of overlap within county programs and state programs and federal programs, right? And so that's how you can get. As you know, we've talked about this on the homeless programs. There are 42 statewide. There are 42 programs that the state of California runs to help homeless folks. How can over four different departments in the state government? I know it's the same in our standpoint. So we're going to look at every single one, how they overlap, how they work together, and if and there's a way to consolidate them or a way to get rid of them, then we're going to.
We're going to have our own DOGE program in San Luis Obispo.
We're DOGE before DOGE was cool.
So what should our listeners? What kind of process should the listeners expect, and what should they be looking for as we start talking about
this? Well, we'll have
this.
Reports coming to the board saying that we've analyzed this many programs. This is where we are. This is what we've got. We're recommending. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people need to read them. We need to have people on this radio show come and talk about the different programs and what the possible cuts are. On programs, we have programs that don't work. And I say this all the time about the inclusionary housing fee. It's a failed program. Why are we even bringing it back?
Right.
Can we sunset some of those and just say, if this is the goal in 2 years, can we check to see whether or not this has accomplished the goal? Yeah. And if it hasn't.
That's what we did with the inclusionary housing fee. That's how mm-hmm. we got rid of it, because we gave it a 3-year run. It was supposed to raise $4 million every year. It raised $500,000, and we had a sunset clause in it, and it disappeared.
And really, now that Prop 5 has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Or went down to defeat, excuse me.
Yep.
The county's hands are tied. We got to cut the budget.
Yeah, we have to cut the budget. We have no more kind of free funny money from the state government or the federal government that we had. We had quite a lot. And now we have to actually make some tough decisions.
Well, I'm guessing federal money is going to dry up at some level as well.
I will tell you this, okay? I hope not. But I guarantee it's going to.
Yeah.
But we are going to be the stepchild of the federal government. We just are.
Well, okay.
And is our county relying on the numbers coming out of the LAO, California Legislative, the county office? Are we using those numbers, or are there numbers that
we have our own county numbers because we have our own budget department, and our budget department is run through the admin office, and Matt oversees that. And I think we're going to get pretty accurate numbers.
All right.
I mean, they don't want to. I mean, I look at budgets from all the other counties, and not just around us, but throughout the whole mm-hmm. state, all the way from Alpine County to LA County. Everybody is going to be dealing with mm-hmm. this. There's only one county I heard that had a big surplus, and I think that was Napa County this year.
Hmm.
I just went to the California State Association of Counties meeting, CSAC meeting in Pasadena, and every single one of those supervisors was telling me that I talked to was telling me how bad it is.
So is that a worthwhile meeting, or is that just a boondoggle for you guys?
It's interesting you bring that up, because I pay for it myself. I don't have the.
Well, I wasn't suggesting anything else.
I know, but I never charge it to anybody. Just mm-hmm. I go down, and I actually find it pretty interesting.
Okay.
There were some really good presentations mm-hmm. That I attended about different subjects. One of them actually about vehicle licensing, and the other one about the air pollution control district, and kind of things that are coming down to meet these climate goals. What it's doing to just fleets of truck. I learn a lot from these things.
All right, let's and of course, part and parcel of this whole budgetary process is this county fee schedule A, which I guess are all the fees that get charged for permits and those types of things. So, and that's up for grabs right now too at the Board of Supervisors.
Well,
I just
voted against it.
Okay.
Last two meetings ago.
Vote against it?
It's not the right time. Okay. You know, I mean, people are really hurting in the community. I mean, we have a resident of San Miguel here. We've been to Shandon. My district is hurting right now. People, you know, it's tough, and I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump won, is that he gave people hope that he could turn the economy around and get people working, and he was going to get prices cut down.
So basically, the county is raising fees for everything.
Not everything, just very specific things, planning and things like that. You know, if there's plan checks, things like, I've said this on this program before. I hope this doesn't make you blush, but the test for gonorrhea and syphilis went up $2.
Okay.
You know, which, you know, I've always voted for those fees on the communicable diseases because as a taxpayer, I don't want to subsidize your bad behavior.
Yeah.
So
what about the homelessness is huge piece of the budget.
It is.
And I saw an article that it looks like L.A. is so sideways on its homelessness services that they're actually thinking of taking it over. The county is going to take it over. You know, where do you see homeless services going, particularly as it pertains to, again, Prop 36 now, that is kind of going to give law enforcement a little more leeway on what they can do again?
Yeah,
how does all this play into this?
I've always believed that a lot of the homeless issues we're dealing with are drug addiction and mental health issues. You know, people not on their medication if they're manic or they have, you know, schizophrenia, they come off their medication. We've made strides. We lowered the numbers. I believe we're down about 400 people from when we started 2 years ago, when we started to take this seriously. You know, Adam Hill kind of ran most of the effort on homelessness for a number of years, and it was always housing first. To me, it's actually services first, which is detox, getting people clean and sober so they can make good decisions and get them into a home, or actually be able to get a mental health, get them. And Care Court will help us that. That's a new program that it is coming from the state, and I actually think it could work where we can get people, you know, on their medication so they can make good decisions for themselves and get out of the cycle of homelessness and drug addiction and or mental illness. And I think we're moving in the right direction. The bigger question is, are we going to be able to continue to fund things, you know, what the state's going to send us to do the mandated programs? Mm-hmm. And there are some programs, as we talked about earlier, the federal government has 42, or state government has 42 different homeless programs, and a lot of them don't talk to each other's. Veterans programs don't talk to the, you know, whatever, you know, the youth programs or the senior programs. And so we've got to be able to figure out a way to make that work. But I think those programs have shown promise, the ones we have right now. The ones we were doing 6 years ago and 5 years ago, I don't think, I mean, they were proven not to work. So we've culled those out pretty quickly. The question is, are there, you know, some pet programs that supervisors want to keep? I do think ECHO does a good job. I think we've got to be able to work with law enforcement because I think it's going to be a law enforcement issue.
We got a call. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question for John or Darsha?
I don't have a question. I have a statement. I am in my late 80s. I am living on Social Security alone. And I am damn tired of supporting people that don't take their medication and don't get a job. Nobody gives a crap what I'm having to give up. Now the Paso Robles wants to raise the cost of trash. When is it going to stop? What about those of us that have worked our whole lives and are widowed and now living on Social Security? Nobody gives a crap about us. I'll be among the homeless soon.
Well, you know, this is like the best question I've gotten on Protecting What Matters. Well, wow.
It was a statement. I like that.
Lady. I like that. Thank you. That is the best. That's like one of the best calls I've had.
I was giving you two strong arms. So
John, do you have any comment on our caller's thoughts?
I won't discuss garbage fees in the city of Paso Robles.
Okay.
That's obviously a city issue here with no jurisdiction. But I agree with her sentiment. Because I think, you know, we want to be compassionate for other people, but at some point we feel like we're getting pushed around or you know, how do they say it, you know, fed cow manure, you know, and it's just, we've got to show, and this is the thing with government, you have to show that you're making a difference in people's
right.
lives. You have to be able to show the metrics that this program actually works or these things work. Because there's buyer's remorse, mm-hmm. right? You know, well, we spent this much money in this, and we only, you know, we only found homes for two people or whatever it is. And so I think that the more updates we can get out there of things, programs that actually work, and this goes good to the presidency too. I mean, Donald Trump has a mandate to make some things happen. I think he's going to make those things happen. I think the state government, it's a totally different story. I think it's a little tougher there. Mm-hmm. But with county government, every day that I do this job, I work to make sure that we are moving the ball forward to help people, but not necessarily to bankrupt people. And mm-hmm. I know that this cost of living right now is killing families, especially families on fixed incomes.
Yep.
And it's just insane.
Well, and to our caller's point, a huge part of the homelessness problem is elderly people that can't afford their rent anymore.
Yeah.
So they're relying on the homeless services for housing and all that
stuff.
And
we do have programs for seniors and to be able to help with their rent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would argue if that is a situation with the caller who mm-hmm. is obviously has had a really good reason to call in, I would love to hear from her.
So, go ahead.
And John, you're a small government person. So what exactly, I mean, maybe this is even a philosophical question, you know, what is the role of government? So when you have government that's taking away from some to then give to others, you have that middleman that literally is the government that continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so more is taken away and less is actually given to the people that they're intending to help. And it's the corruption in between that I try to address. But in the smaller government world, how can we help our senior citizens, our people who are working and have worked their entire lives?
You know, that's a great question for the next segment. We'll start with that question and we'll return in about 2 minutes. So stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will recommend his cabinet adopt a U.S.-brokered ceasefire agreement with the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah.
God willing, we will have security. We will have the North flower and we'll continue together until there is victory.
Speaking there through a translator, the deal does not affect the war against Hamas to Israel's south in Gaza. President-elect Trump's incoming border czar making a visit to Eagle Pass, Texas today, pledging to crack down on illegal immigration in the Trump administration.
We're not waiting until January. We're already talking. We're already planning. We're going to put a plan in place and secure this nation at the highest level it's ever seen. We're going to finish Trump's work.
Speaking there alongside Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott near the southern U.S. border. America is listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company, serving the Central Coast for over 50 years with all your garage door needs, residential or commercial. Hammond has the right door system for any application. As a local, family-owned company, Hammond Overhead Door Company is committed to providing the superior products you want and the personal service you deserve. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're having a spirited conversation with John Vishong and Darsha Sebbins. Call in with your questions and comments. And again, I think we have a caller right now on the line. We're going to take a question. And then I want to get back to your question with John. So thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I have a comment. I agree with the lady that just called in before my phone call. I live on Social Security also and widow's benefits, and it's getting very difficult. And I also sent in at one time $10 to the, $30 the first time to the Trump organization to help. And then the second time I sent in $10. Well, I got my credit card bill, and it was $2,000. Each time charged me $1,000. What, can they not prevent this? I mean, I called my bank, and it's being reviewed. But this, the scams that are going on this time is just $2,000. That would wipe me out.
Yep, that's just wrong. And that is a
thanks for your call.
I'm not really sure that was the campaign. That might have been somebody that took advantage of you. So
yeah.
Definitely work with your credit card company and let us know if you don't get any action on that. But you should, because that's just over the top. And I've heard of that actually. Somebody I know personally up in Oregon got drained like $40,000.
Isn't that something that the sheriff's department has a cyber
fraud?
They
have it, and the district attorney's office could definitely jump all
There's
over that.
Also another whole movement that's called smurfing, where the Act Blue is the Democratic Party fundraiser and Win Red as a Republican Party fundraiser, that campaign contributions are coming in, and they need real people in order to have smaller donations. Mm-hmm. And it's where people who are not actually donating are being used so they might have 5,000 contributions over the last year and a half, but they're not actually being charged. Yeah. And it's a case right now in 20 different states.
Well, daily I get so many phishing emails, things to open up, attachments and click on links. If you don't know where it's coming from, report it as junk or phishing and move on. Leave it alone.
So I want to know, why do they call it smurfing?
It's called smurfing, but James O'Keefe and a couple other watchdog agencies have been going to these people's homes. Usually it's senior citizens, and they're not employed. It just says not employed. It could be retired, but they have $15 contributions, but 5,000 of them that total hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when they come to actually say, hey, your name and your address is being used on the FEC website, FEC.gov, we can all go to it. I've looked it up for our county and our zip code, and there's some names that are being used in our county. So it's not as if this isn't happening.
Well,
but
wow. Yes. And if you
haven't heard about it, you will.
And okay. to our last caller's comment and problem, I would contact the sheriff's office, and I'd contact the district attorney. DA's office.
And I will tell you, we were talking earlier about Prop 36. You know, Dan Dow did an incredible job bringing that to our county and making sure that everybody was informed and raised money for it and got it passed. And I know that there was two district attorneys that were against it, Contra Costa, Alameda, and Los Angeles. But I will tell you that luckily they lost, and the good DAs in this state won.
What are you hearing from law enforcement and the DA's office, specific to Slo County? I mean, are we going to see a change, a difference?
I believe we are. I think they're waiting for it to be implemented, and they will activate it. I was at the Best Buy about 5 months ago, and I remember watching someone steal an Xbox and run out the door because it was like $800. Mm-hmm. And I asked one of the clerks, why don't you try it? And they just said, no, we're not allowed to stop them because it's under $800, wow. Under $900.
Yeah. $950.
This is going to, I think, change the way that they look at these crimes, and I think we're going to have to get serious with it, and I think it allows them to.
All right, so I have kind of a lightning round of other county issues
here.
A lightning round.
Outstanding.
So let's talk about it. Looks like the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, approved the permit extension.
They've recommended it for 20 years.
Good. And so, what are the next steps? you know, we're going to, it's going to help us keep some high paying jobs in the county and a tax base.
So. Well, it has to be, you know, the state has to get on board with it, okay. Which is, you know, always, you know, a question.
Yeah.
And during this energy transition that we're going through, I think they've underestimated the amount of power that comes out of what I consider clean, green energy, the nuclear power plant. That's why I supported a 20-year resolution with Supervisor Arnold and Supervisor Ortiz Legg and myself supporting that. It was a 3-2 vote. I do think that there are forces in the state that are working against it to shut it down. But remember this, to replace all of the oil and gas energy and all of the nuclear energy and the hydro energy, by the way, in the state, because we don't consider
our cleanest energy.
They don't consider it to be in California. It's not green energy. But to do that, they're going to have to put 770,000 acres of solar out there on farmland, and we're not even close to that.
And ultimately, I mean, again, and Trump is saying that he's going to get rid of these wind projects.
The offshore wind projects?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's federal. That's what, you know, the territorial water. So the federal government has a lot of say there. I mean, do you think he's going to be successful with that?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's successful. Mm-hmm. I think he will be. I mean, he says it and he'll do it. You know, mm-hmm. he's got 4 years to make stuff happen, and I think he will make stuff happen.
We're going to be watching so many lawsuits here over the next few
years. And I think too, I mean, it was going to take 10 years to implement them, is what I understood, you know, what I read. And I think that, you know, they've not been done in this. I don't know of this, but I don't think they've been the offshore wind has not been done in water this deep.
Well, and again, they're shutting them down in Europe where they've tried them.
Yeah.
It's the only people make, in my opinion, the only people making money on this are the consultants.
Well, I just don't know, you know, because the way it was set up, right? So the federal government said, we're going to be able to lease these. And then the state government says local government doesn't have any say on when they come on shore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it basically took the local government out of it, and it's a land use issue.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that's kind of one of my pet peeves that it's going on here, and because I opted out, but the 3CE issue.
I brought my postcard.
Oh, good. You know, so folks, you know, you should be able to opt out if you're what if that was. So those of us in unincorporated San Luis Obispo County have an opportunity to opt out of 3CE before the end of the year, correct?
Correct. So here's what it says on the postcard in the, you know, really easy to find print here, right? So it says, you may request to opt out for 3CE at any time by calling 877-455-2223 or by visiting 3cenergy.org/opt-out/. Please have your PG&E account information on hand to process your request. There's no fee to opt out before the 3CE service starts or within 60 days after. After that time, though, there's a one-time administrative fee of $5 for residential accounts and $25 for commercial accounts.
Right. So I have two meters on the property.
Oh.
And so I was able to opt out of the residential one, but I on online, so it was very easy. I didn't have to deal with somebody who was trying to sell me 3CE. But the ag meter, I had to actually call in.
Yeah.
And they make a big push to keep you on board when you call in. But ultimately, one of the things that they said to me, and I hope this is correct, you know, their big push is that, well, our power is going to be cleaner and cheaper.
So I'm not an electrician, but last I checked, can you actually tell in the grid which the energy, does it have a little marker on it, each little, you know, megawatt that comes out and says this is from Diablo or this is from, you know, a power plant using natural gas.
But they're not including hydroelectricity.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And the other thing is
just
Mike,
clear energy.
As Mike Brown has pointed out in his weekly CoLab, you know, newsletter, is that basically PG&E is greener than 3CE power when it comes right down to it. He's documented this. So but what I wanted to mention on this opt-out thing, because I know it's come up on the Morning Exchange a couple of times, I believe that if you opt out before the end of the year and then you don't like it, if you want to go into 3CE later, you can do that. But if you wait till after the first of the year, then you can't.
You can't go back
and forth for 2 years.
So let me just tell you about the supply in California right now, because there's this great app called ISO Daily. and today. And right now in our grid, the power that's actually, you know, powering this radio station, natural gas right now is providing 28.8% of power. Large hydro, which California doesn't think is green, but it is. Every other state, by the
way. It's clear. 40, I call it clear energy.
Clear energy. 49 other states use it. It has about 4.7 of our grid. Oil imports are at 19.5%. Nuclear is 8.2 right now, and we have no coal burning. So as you can see, most of the power, and if you add these together, you know, about 50% of the power is coming from natural gas and oil in the California grid right now. And so nuclear is at 8.2.
All right. We got another caller. Thanks for calling. Question or comment? What can we help you with?
Yeah. I was wondering if John could repeat that phone number to opt out of 3CE.
Oh, you bet.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for asking that.
I got a postcard, and the postcard says call anytime at 877-455-2223. That's 877-455-2223.
All right. And what's the website, again, that you can opt out?
It is 3cenergy.org/opt-out/.
All right. Great. So, yeah, it's I think this is an unnecessary intermediary that's going to end up costing us a lot more money. I want to move on to another big issue in the county, John. And I know you're a regular reader of the Marijuana Herald, which is marijuana news and information. Mm. So I know you're grappling with the retail pot dispensaries in the county, and it's kind of been put on hold again, it looks like. What can you tell us about this? I this is another thing that I think is a bad idea, in my opinion.
And the retail, there's so much science right now against kind of the retail outlets in the communities, in the smaller communities, the disadvantaged communities that should not have. We have delivery in San Luis Obispo County. People can get cannabis if they want to use cannabis. I actually don't have a subscription to that, but maybe I should go and get
online.
That magazine.
It's free.
Oh,
it's
you can
free.
Opt in. Online.
Okay, I can opt in to the subscription online, the email. But it is coming back. There are some supervisors that believe that we should have retail outlets for cannabis, like they have in three of the cities in San Luis Obispo County, Morro Bay, San Luis, and Grover Beach. They're looking at the tax revenue implications of this and being able to get some money from it. I don't think it's going to be as much. Remember, we have 2.2 million acres in San Luis Obispo County, and we end up having actually 12 acres of legal cannabis being grown. I don't know how much illegal cannabis is being grown. Santa Barbara County has 1,500 acres of cannabis down there. So I don't think we need to have retail outlets if people have access to it and they can use it. I mean, it did. Prop 64 passed. I didn't vote for it, so they can use it. But I don't think we should have retail, at least in the county. It's also, and if you think about it, you know, we have here in North County, at nighttime, we have, you know, three or four sheriff's deputies that patrol a size of an area that's bigger than the state of Rhode Island. You know, and I don't think they would be the ones that would deal with law enforcement with it, and I don't think that they would be supportive of it.
You know, again, has anybody at the county actually done a cost to benefit analysis of what it would really cost to enforce these things?
Oh, they have, because they've done the fees, you know, the fees for these bricks and mortar, but they're working on it. Actually, I voted against it and Debbie Arnold voted against it, but it's still moving forward. So they're going to study it some more and bring it back at a later time.
So here's a scary thing. I was talking to a friend of mine who's in the facial recognition business. They are actually developing vending machines for pot dispensaries based on facial recognition. And so, like, what could go wrong here? I'm sure that's something that the Marijuana Herald is behind.
I am sure they're probably, you know, they're probably put some money into it. I'm sure in city and county of San Francisco, they're going to love those machines.
Yeah, all right. And now on another lightning round question, the Dana Point Reserve Project. This is something you have, I think, in favor of. For the county, Dana Reserve Project.
Dana Reserve.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was thinking Orange County.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Dana Point's beautiful place.
Napomo.
Yeah. I have been supportive of it. Supervisor Arnold, myself, and Supervisor Ortiz Legg voted for it. It's 1,400 plus homes down there in Napomo, different kinds of homes, you know, starter homes, senior homes, veterans homes. They got all kinds of things working there. It's a great project, and I think it's way past time. We need to be able to build houses for young people and young families in this community, working families, and I think it's, well, I'll continue to support it.
Are there developers that are really gung-ho about getting going on this?
On that project there is. Yes, the developer is a local person down there that wants to run this, and he's going to do a great job. He's done really good projects in the past. I just met yesterday with the Home Builders Association, and they're building a whole bunch of new ideas are coming up about different homes. We just approved 22 homes in Templeton, California, down the road here, mm-hmm. and I will continue to support anything that gets families into homes.
All right, great. Any other big issues, big programs at the county level we should be watching as we go into 2025?
I think most of them are going to be land use, you know, issues, but because of the budget, I think that the number one thing on our docket is going to be kind of reining in county budget and figuring out how we can continue to give some services to people, our core services, things that we do well, and maybe there's some things that we would really, really like and we won't be able to afford this year.
All right.
And the CAO is requesting a possible looking at the priorities. Do you see the priorities of the county changing?
I would love for them to change, but I'm one of two votes, so right. I don't think so. I mean, that's been my number one thing has always been public safety and law enforcement and supporting that, making sure people are safe in their homes.
All right. We got another caller, and we're up against a break here in about a minute, so why don't you go ahead with your question?
The question is, how long are we going to have the benefit of John Pajone and Darcy Stebbins, two of my favorite people? Keep up the good work, guys and gals.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
So Darcy and I, should we announce that we're going to be doing our radio show every Friday? We're just going to banter back and forth, and, you know, maybe we'll, I don't know. I'll bore people, and Darcy will keep them energized.
Well, I do think that for the unincorporated areas of the county, especially in North County, because, I mean, that's KPRL listeners, and the unincorporated areas, they bear the tax burden. They're paying their taxes, but we're rarely getting the resources or, you know, so when you have a community like Chandon, that was especially just egregious that they can't even place their vote on election day. So I always look toward trying to have people who are paying for services to be able to receive some services or at least have some say in how those services are going to be rendered. So I would like to see that, especially North County, that we have a bigger presence if we can. And when you have supervisors like Bruce Gibson that took you and Debbie off of the Paso Robles Water Basin Cooperative Committee, you know, how can we get more representation and even representation for our dollars?
And for me, it's always finding that third vote, figuring out how to do that. One of the things that I'm really still very disappointed in is that Lynn, Debbie, and I were able to get the planting ordinance in place, and then it was taken a month before implementation. It was taken away by the three supervisors now, and we have family farms in our community that have no access to water under their land, even though it's guaranteed by the state constitution very clearly. And so I think one of my driving factors as we get through this year, if I can find a third vote, I'd love to bring that back, because I think helping those small family farms to me is key. Agriculture in this community, and these are people that want to grow fruits and vegetables and have a market for it, and they're allowed to do that. You know, they can you know, maybe put some cattle on their land, whatever it is. Right now it's fallowed.
All right, well, I hear the bumper music again. We have one more short segment, folks. When we get back, we're going to wrap up with some more political talk with John Pajone and let you know what's coming up next.
And Darcy too.
Darcy's not political.
All right.
We'll be back in about 2-3 minutes.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Another good day on Wall Street Tuesday. The Dow set its third straight record close, up 124 points to close at more than 44,860. The S&P 500 up 34. It finished above 6,000 for the first time ever with its 52nd record close of the year. The NASDAQ gained 119. Monday night, President-elect Trump said he'll impose a 25% tax on all products coming into the country from Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% tariff on Chinese goods. Now the question is, could that cost be passed on to consumers? The Federal Reserve signaling caution when it comes to rate cuts as inflation remains high. That's according to the minutes released today from the Fed's November meeting. And new home sales down to a two-year low in October, according to the Commerce Department. Sales of newly built homes dropping over 17% last month. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Kevin Uretsky, invested in you.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you can make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peak Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir. Just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Darsha Stebbins and John Pishong. I know we have a caller on the line, so stand by. We'll take your call in a minute. Others can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Now we have another caller on the line, so stand by. Next week's show will feature Lydia Francis and Kerbit Kahm of the Paso Robles Food Co-op.
Oh, outstanding.
And then we also have, to continue the discussion on energy policy, water policies, Edward Ring, who's a senior fellow at the California Policy Center. And he's going to be talking about, certainly we're going to be talking a lot about energy policy in the brave new world of Donald Trump. And one more thing again, folks, we've got the Lincoln Club event coming up on December 12th, the annual Christmas party. Featured speaker will be former state senator, and now I think he's going to be a new state senator, right, John? Tony Strickland. It's going to be a great event at the Madonna Inn. You can get your get information. John will send you personally a link to if you call him at text him at 805-440-7818. So let's take our first call here. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi, I was just calling regarding how you guys were talking about the affordable and low-income housing being built. I just feel like the categories are just, they're not realistic. You know, like I've tried to apply for a 55 and over place, and they told me you couldn't make more than 48,000, but I'm just like, I'd be living on the street. You know what I mean? People, I'm single, I work, you know, so I have to work two jobs to survive here. And, you know, rents are real, you know, out of control. $2,500 for a one-bedroom, you know, that's hard for one person to pay. And then they have, but then again, you can't make more than this amount and you don't qualify. So it's almost like we're just stuck in the middle, I feel like single people, because you don't qualify for anything. And then they make those unrealistic, you know, caps on the affordable housing.
Okay, John, what do you say? Thanks for the call.
I completely agree. I mean, it's sometimes we're stuck 10 years back, you know, where that amount would work 10 years ago, and we need to update that. So we have been working on that. I think a lot of it comes down from the state of California, and they take the averages from all 58 counties, and that's the biggest problem. It's very expensive to live here on the Central Coast, yeah. And so we are working on it, but I completely agree with her.
Got another caller. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question or comment?
Supervisor Pashong, I understand that you do political consulting and you might know how to do this. We need to abolish the California Air Resources Board. How do we start that?
Thanks for the call.
That one is probably going to have to be a ballot initiative that you're going to have to collect signatures on it. And it's funny because I just saw the CARB folks at CSAC, and the Ventura County General Services Manager was complaining because he's the one that has to clean up after emergencies with his tractors, and he doesn't get the CARB will not exempt his tractors from that, so that he's going to have to find a way to get
clean up the cleanup.
He won't be able to clean up any disasters. Now they exempted emergency vehicles, so the emergency is over with, and then somebody's responsible for the cleanup. But he's going to have to get battery Duracell tractors to be able to come in and move all the debris and do all the things that he needs to do. And he was complaining because to the CARB folks, because the fire down there that occurred 2 weeks ago in Ventura County, he hasn't, you know, they're at the end of the year, they're not going to be able to clean it up with that many tractors because they're not allowed to use them.
But isn't that a case where you have the unelected bodies?
Unelected bodies, 100%.
Don't have to be held. They can't really be held accountable.
Right.
So they got created for a purpose. Are they accomplishing that purpose? And if they're not, it needs to have a way to be able to be sunsetted.
100%. 100%.
All right. Here's my closing question.
Yes, sir.
Along the lines, John, of our discussion during the break about liberalism being a mental illness, you know, it really pertains to the Democrat control of the state, the governor, with all due respect. You know, they're just doubling down to thwart everything that Donald Trump wants to do. Okay. Deporting illegal aliens, creating sanctuary cities. Every day we have a new sanctuary city now in California. I understand the concept of federalism, you know, state and local control. But at some level, I'm not sure what message did the California Democrats miss from the last election?
Well, I mean, they, you know, most likely they still have the 2/3, so they can move things through. They can make stuff happen without a single Republican, so they can ignore us. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest tragedy of the way this is set up, is that we have not been competitive. I think what it does is that the President Trump, with allowing him to do his job and doing it well and making things happen in our communities across this country, I believe what it will do is it will strengthen our party, mm-hmm. and strengthen the resolve of the Republicans, because it's been tough. We all know this. Their family members have changed their opinions on political issues and trying to make different issues, you know, the discussion topic at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I think the ability to be able to talk about victories and things that actually get accomplished and the things that we're for can change the way that we do business in California.
Anybody coming up, you know, in the ranks? I mean, I know we have a governor's race in the next cycle.
We do. The only person that I've heard that is interested in running is Chad Blanco of Riverside County,
and
he's going to run for governor.
All right, that would be.
We
a
have
good
so
pick.
Much to be thankful for.
Yes, we do very much so, folks. Thanks for listening today, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And join me again next week for Protecting What Matters. Darsha and John, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Take care, folks.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazingbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.